Is it still me and you, Salam, right?
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Because we're going to have this on a podcast, I'm just going to welcome everyone to this week's insert of Keeping It Candid. And today we have Jackie. I don't want to ambush your last name. How do I say it?
Sitwaba.
Sitwaba. We've got Jackie Sitwaba joining us today. And looking forward to seeing and maybe hearing a few words of wisdom from your end. So
on your side, because you're upside down in my camera.
You're actually upside down in mine, which is weird.
Okay, because I've got you in landscape on my phone because I didn't get the link on my computer.
Oh, I see.
But it will you be able to rotate it on your side?
I have no idea. But I'm not, it's not bothering me.
Okay. Happiness.
Cool. So just to get started, I want you to just maybe introduce us to who Jackie is before all the accolades and all the titles and everything that you have worked so very hard to get to where you are right now. Just a brief introduction to who you are, please.
Thanks for having me, Nkita. Jackie Sitwaba is a very, very simple girl. Born and bred in Polokwane. I came to Cape Town to study probably about 2003, straight out of matric. And studied public relations, journalism, media, worked in communications, and was steadily climbing the corporate ladder, I'd like to think. And about 3 years ago, as I was, you know, in my winning season, I really thought I was very close. I was marketing manager at a Dimension Data company. And I'm a very religious person. At that point, God said move. And I was like, no, dude. But he said move, and I had to listen. And seemingly, you know, my priorities were climbing the ladder when I could have been perhaps focusing a little bit more on my family. Mm. And so that was what I eventually decided to do, was just to take a couple of steps back. I resigned from the corporate world and I was like, what next? Mm. And over a couple of months of just processing and saying what next, real estate popped into my mind. It wasn't a journey I'd thought of ever embarking on. I was really just happy to be in corporate. And so when he said real estate, I was like, okay, what does that look like? And the mandate was to transform real estate. And sort of that's the journey I'm unpacking at the moment. And thankfully, with the flexibility of the real estate industry, is that I can do that without compromising on what's important to me, which is my family. So that's where we're at. But really just trying to do what is mandated to me, or what I've now found is my new calling, while staying true to my very close values.
I must say, I love how everyone that I've come across, when they talk about how they've gotten into property, it's sort of like property chose them in most cases. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what happened in your case as well. It's really amazing. It literally just chooses its people. Now, the one thing that really fascinates me about what you're doing is property stock wealth. And for the life of me, I try to understand how did you stumble upon that narrative and property firstly?
Yeah, I think it was something, I guess you can buy property in different kind of ways, right? Mm. And that wasn't something I was necessarily going after. So my whole thing was, I just want to be a good real estate agent. Considering that there's very few people of color within real estate, I wanted to just make sure that I'm being representative. You know, for me, it's around, when I think of transformation within the industry, it's not just about having black people in the industry, right? It's about what does transforming our legacies look like? You know, how does that unfold on a real, on a real level. So for me, you know, changing that was being relevant to the guys on the ground. And that's, for me, really the low-income earners, just letting them know that it's an opportunity for them to get into real estate, and that they can, you know, apart from just buying their own houses, they can start having that as a real estate investment platform for themselves and their families, so that they can, you know, grow wealth as well. And so, yeah, it moved from that sort of conversations where people were wanting to buy property as a collective and educating them about what that looks like. Do you have to save money? And what kind of platform do you save money? And so that's how it unfolded. I belong to a collective. It's not necessarily one that is geared only on investing in property. Property is one of the ventures we wanted to get in. But I just think, going back to the benefit of the stock file, you know, as a, as a millennial, it was always a thing of... As a millennial, it was always a thing of, you know, we're not in the space where we're buying food stamps anymore. You know, so if we're not buying food stamps anymore, what are we doing with our money? How do we make sure that we can still benefit from doing stuff as a collective, but without compromising on the opportunities that are available to us? So in our collective, for example, we've raised a couple of million. And the idea is then to grow that money, whether through property or other ventures, and just maximizing the benefit of the collective. And so one of the ways of doing that is buying property. And that's what a lot of people are asking to do at the moment. And it's interesting how that has changed. You know, I just thought, you know, some people would buy as a collective, start a company, register a company, and purchase through that company. And other people have chosen to leverage their stock file as a means to loaning an investor money so that they can go purchase a property and develop a property, and they're just comfortable to receive the return on that investment. So each stock file will just have to prioritize based on what they feel is important to them. You know, each one has their own constitution, they've got their own memorandum of understanding. So how do we, based on our collective, based on our decision, make investment decisions that are good for all of us, that we can all benefit from in the long term?
Sure. How do you then choose the members? Do they come to you? Do they go? Do you go to them? How does it form? How does it formulate?
Okay, so I don't own a stock file myself. I belong to a stock file. And so within our stock file, we are a collective of members that grew by word of mouth. So Jackie, New, and Kita. Kita, this is what we're doing. Are you keen to get involved? These are the people we're going to involve in the leadership of the stock file. Would you be comfortable and trust us to make sure that we're managing, you know, the property savings well? And it wasn't always an easy thing. I mean, I had people... As I was approaching them, they're like, "Yo, black people, you're gonna take the money and run." And it's unfortunate, you know, but we stuck through it. And now when they look at us, they're like, "Sure, okay, maybe we should have given it a shot."
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's these narratives around whether or not we can do things, whether or not we're professional in doing things, and it's an opportunity for us to shine, to show that, you know, we can. You know, this whole legacy changing thing is on so many levels, right? On the political front, on the financial front. It's just a generational thing that we need to show other young people that it can be done. And the more we do it, the more people will want to do it. And the more we can literally start undoing the negative that's been written about our story.
Sure. It's so interesting. So is there like sort of like a regulation that protects the members or something like that? What protects the members in the different stock files that they're in?
Okay, let's take 10 steps back, right? So you belong to a collective or a group of friends, decide we want to start a stock file.
Okay.
What is the objective of our stock file? Mm-hmm. Are we wanting to save money? Are we wanting to if we are going to save money, where are we saving into? Who's all part? What are the monthly contributions? That sort of a thing needs to be established. There needs to be a constitution.
Okay.
Right? With the constitution in place and a memorandum of understanding, we then agree that we're going to deploy our money at a particular part, at a particular point, and how we're going to deploy it and what we're going to deploy it into. So that is first steps. There needs to be an agreement about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And then once we've gotten to that point and there's momentum, there's money in the bank account, we then start having a conversation about, well, how much do we qualify for at what particular time? I've had groups that have gone to purchase their property, depending on how much you are saving a month and how many members there are in your stock file, you might be ready to make your first purchase within the first year. Some people might wait it out to the first 2 years. Once they've saved up enough money and they've got the money in the bank as cash, that's their mandate, that's what they've agreed on, we then start looking for a property in that price range. So some have been proactive in the way they're working. They've mandated me and they said, Jax, you know, if you come across property in this price range, and I sort of have a little formula that I work with that I base my figures on, and I'll be able to tell you when exactly you'll be breaking even, when you can start expecting to make a return on your investment. And if those figures are sound, then I, you know, share that property with the investors even before it goes to market. So they almost have first dibs on the stuff. So those are some of the opportunities you can leverage if you work with a really great real estate agent like me. excuse me. So yeah, some people, you know, make the most, they've got that relationship with an agent that proactively seeks to find those opportunities for them. And then they get into to the market in that way. And every year they agree that we're going to buy property, or every second year we're going to buy property. And so, yeah, over the long term, it can really be a great strategy for wealth creation. And then there's others that choose that they don't necessarily want to buy the property in their own names. And they actually appoint, call it a deal finder, to find a property for them. So they'll say, you know, we're appointing Kita and she's going to go look for these type of properties. And they're not registered in the stock file's name. They'd actually be purchased in that property finder's name, right? And they've got a contractual agreement that says all we want is a return of investment of X amount per month. Make sure that we get it. Don't want to hear any stories, whatever come what may. We want our money. And so in a way, they operate as an investment partner or a financier. And then they get their money back either on a monthly basis or at the end of an investment term.
You know, it's so interesting. Here's a question that I kind of ask everyone, especially women, being in the Western Cape and being Black and trying to break down these barriers. What have your biggest struggles been trying to navigate this space in the Western Cape, especially now with like something that's so pro-transformation and so pro-Black people, and trying to navigate it within this country of ours called the Western Cape? How do you navigate through that?
The country of the Western Cape. I mean, the Western Cape is, you know, yeah, I found it a struggle. Although granted, I am only in the industry for a couple of years. And my focus is mostly on residential. That's sort of where I want to craft my niche and just getting people to move into the market as soon as they can with the right kind of knowledge. And it's been difficult. So I live in Durbanville, and there's not many of the, I'm probably the only brown person in my street that I'm aware of. And so in the area I'm trying to farm in the first few months of my career was terrible. I'd started with door knocking because I was like, okay, I'm not going to go say, can I sell your property? But I'm at least going to introduce myself as your neighbor.
Yes, yes.
And even just going to say hi was a big thing. You like literally got chased away from the door. They don't open the door. They just like open the curtains and then they're like, go away. And I'm like, is that how you speak to all your neighbors? And I think there's so many hurdles to move to jump over because, you know, never mind trying to showcase yourself as a professional in the industry, just getting over the barrier of the look. And I'm like, really? This day and age? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of one of the biggest hurdles. But I've just been navigating. I think as I've gone, I decided that there's certain areas that I'm not going to prioritize on. I'm going to use my energies where I know my service is going to be valued and where I'm going to make an impact. Mm. And so part of my strategy really is just creating awareness amongst mostly brown people to say, listen, we are, you know, there's competent people. At the very least, if we're buying properties, let us be buying properties from people that look like us. And if you're not going to use them, I would like to know why. I would like somebody to come to say, Jackie, I didn't buy with you. I didn't sell with you because you didn't meet X, Y, Z, and give us an opportunity to at least address that rather than assume that we don't know what we're doing. I think particularly within my case, I work with a very great mentor who's been guiding me as I've been going along. And over the 3 years, I've been making headway. Literally the first year was sort of trying to figure it out. And now just over my third year in the industry, I'm amongst the top performers in my market center and within Keller Williams South Africa. So I'd like to think there's something that I'm doing right.
Definitely.
And it's really just about being given the opportunity to showcase that to our peers and our fellow Black people.
Yeah. I will encourage everyone who's on here to ask questions if there's any burning desire to ask. But another thing that I think is very important is for us to be able to celebrate ourselves, especially as women and especially as Black women in the Western Cape. I mean, it's so many things, but you try not to focus on the negatives and try to, you know, continue doing what you need to do for your own self. So if there was one thing that you would, from your sort of journey, what's the one thing that you would advise a young lady that's trying to get into the property industry in its entirety? What's the one thing that you would sort of like guide them with in terms of, you know, words of wisdom and try to navigate the space and where they find strength or anything like that?
So I belong to a collective, and I've always said, whether it's in my real estate business or just in my other circles, benefit from the collective. You know, the collective works. It's not a new phenomenon. We've been doing it, right? Our parents have belonged to Stockfalls for the longest of time. I've extended that. So as I was seeing, I'm navigating through the streets of Cape Town in the Western Cape, and I'm not getting the support. It just made sense that I would start seeking out people that have gone before me. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel as women, particularly because we know how to move around circles and how to make things work.
Yes.
And so I just built on something that another friend of mine was doing in the southern suburbs. In the northern suburbs, I then decided I'm going to host a Salads and Sisterhood. And so the idea was, okay, if the people won't let me into their houses, they're welcome in mine. And so that was how Salads and Sisterhood started in the northern suburbs. Once a quarter, I would host at my house on the patio. Everybody brings a salad, and the idea is that you coming and you're in conversation with women that you didn't necessarily know. But we connect on so many levels, whether it's business or socially and stuff like that. So first would be to find your own tribe. Create a tribe if you can't find one that you can resonate with or that suits your needs. Mm. And that has worked for me because within that network, I have made new friends. I have made business deals. I have made acquaintances. And everybody knows somebody, right?
Yeah,
and so just leveraging on relationships has been a huge thing for me, and I'm very grateful for that sort of connection. So at the very least is try and connect with other women. Don't be scared to speak out. You know, I'd rather speak out and fail at something than not have tried it all and be wallowing, because that's almost where I think people want us. Mm. You know, when I started speaking stuff around transformation and trying to get collaborations going with other agents, they were like, go away. And like, no, we don't need to work with you. It seems a strange phenomenon, but actually, you know, the more we can work together, the easier things can happen, and the sooner we can get done, right? And for me, when I work with other agents of color, particularly, in fact, I seek them out, and I always say we're not in competition.
Exactly.
You know, in as much as we might have our own businesses or we might work for different agencies, we're not in competition. When they see Mkita, they see Jackie. It might be a different face, but they're seeing a black real estate agent. And so for me, as let the face we are portraying as black real estate agents be one that is like fire, one that is professional, one that is showing up, one that is, you know, so that when they are comparing us, they can't use corruption or bad service or anything like that as an excuse for not wanting to make use of our services. So I really think the more we can show up as a collective that is efficient and professional, the more we can make a greater impact. And I think perhaps as, you know, the Property Practitioners Bill or Act now starts to, you know, become more of a reality, hopefully more corporates will want to see how they can help black professionals in the industry. You know, it shouldn't be such a struggle. And I think there are ways that I've in fact approached some corporates about to see how we can start making a difference and start making it an industry that people want to work in, that young people will want to work in. There are some challenges because it's one that doesn't pay a regular salary, so you have to sort of build a relationship and get into a momentum over a couple of months, but it's not impossible. But in the meantime, there's definitely you know, agreements that can be struck between the industry and corporate companies. I mean, they also need rental agents. They also need sales agents. You know, we need to create a space where it's not just, well, you know, the industry doesn't need black real estate agents, or we don't do business with government, so actually keep your BEE scores to yourself kind of a situation, which is sort of the mentality that the industry has at the moment.
Sure. If there's one thing, if you could, or if you could change in the property game, what would it be?
If there was one thing that I could change, if we could unbundle some of the red tape, man, that would be great.
There's too much of it.
I think yeah, there's room for process. There's room for a lot of growth, but I think a lot of us is hindered through a lot of red tape. So I think just getting into a space where we can just undo some of that red tape will go a long way into making sure that more people want to come. Like I said, the more collaborative as well that we can be, you know, the more we can start moving from mom and pop shop kind of reality to a more of a of an industry that is collective and working from a global business space rather than from an individual family space. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's sort of the way it's been working, and it's almost each one for himself, which is why the industry sort of has a what you call a perception for being a backstabbing industry, because everybody's just gunning for themselves. Exactly. But I think there's different models that can be adapted and implemented in the industry to make sure that everybody has an equal stake in the pie. And the industry is so huge. It's a $1 trillion industry. You know, the residential market is just a small space. I mean, if we had to speak more to the people in the commercial space and the industrial space and how those, you know, there's just so much opportunity in the industry. So, I think that would be a good starting point. At least to drive more people access into the industry as well.
Yeah, I think it also goes back to what you're saying. It's not competition. It's a collaborative approach is really something that we need to actively be doing instead of talking about it. Because, I mean, for instance, I think one of the biggest things that I've learned from this pandemic, and I hope that other people have been able to grasp, is that collaboration is very important. I mean, you can't exactly go, if you want to go, what's the saying, if you want to go far, I forgot it now.
Yes, but basically, if you want to go far, go together.
Exactly. So, I feel like if there's one thing that this pandemic for me has taught me is that it's very important to understand that you're not in competition with other people, and you can go much further if you actually just collaborate with people. Because at the end of the day, the agenda is the same. We just need to share. We need to just have an understanding of how to share. I think one of the biggest things that I want to make sure that is heard from this sort of session that we're having right now is to say congratulations for being a resilient woman, for all the strides that you're making. It's no small thing, and I feel like we shouldn't just celebrate women just because it's Women's Month, but it should be something that should actually be taken into good act to say you're doing well, and we've got you. We can see you. We can see the changes that you're making. We can see you doing all of that you're doing and inspiring young minds who are keen and eager to join this space or any other space for that matter, just for holding it down and for that resilience. So we just want to say congratulations. Keep on keeping on. We love watching. We enjoy the work that you're doing. And then I think just lastly, in closing, if there was, I assume that you know a little bit about cyber, but I hope you do. If there was one thing, I'm putting you on the spot now. If there was one challenge that you'd like to put on the table for cyber, Western Cape,
if there was what, sorry?
One challenge that you would put on the table for cyber Western Cape, what would it be? What would you want us to actively do? Putting you on the spot.
you're putting me on the spot. You're putting me on the spot. I'd like to see. So I've been attending some of the events that have been happening in the Western Cape, and I like that there's representation in the leadership. I like that there is, you know, real conversation that are practical. That are taking place at the moment. I like to see that there's a lot of youth and young blood in the Western Cape chapter as well, which is really great to see. I would maybe like to see us walking the talk of the collaborative and walking the talk of taking hold of the opportunities that there are in the Western Cape as an organization. I don't know if there's room for such a thing, but if we're talking about Stokvels, I mean, if you go into Stokvels, there's so many Stokvels that have registered with that platform, and it's one that's transparent and it's working. But the question is, what can industry bodies do then as a reflection of what is happening on the ground? Perhaps there's room for us to grow in that sort of area. So maybe that's something worth looking into.
Okay, we'll take it on, and we will try our very best to come back to you to say, okay, challenge accepted. This is what we've done. check in with you about how we are going to do that actively. There's a question here on the group from Carl. Carl is asking what the average monthly percent return percent on investment being part of a stock for. Are you long or short? Are there long or short-term benefits?
It depends on the type of Stokvel you set up. I know of some Stokvels, like I said, if your intention is to make a monthly income, there's some that have invested in shares, for example, and they generate their income from that, from the dividends that they earn on there. There's others that have partnered with other investors or property developers or property management companies that receive monthly income from the monies that they've given them. So based on whatever agreements they have there, it could be anything from a 10 to a 15% month, depending on what kind of stock file you have. Mm-hmm. And then there are others that haven't received a return on their investment yet because they've got a long-term view. So some of them decide that for the first 5 years, it's just capital investment. We're just saving. Let's see how much we've got at the end of the five-year term. In the meantime, the money that we do have, let's buy shares or let's buy or let's say within other mediums, so that we can keep growing, so that at the end of the five-year term, we've got more than what we've saved. And so they use other investment strategies to grow those funds. And then they decide, well, now we're buying properties cash, or at a particular point, we're going to use the equity in those properties that we've bought and keep growing in that sort of a sense. So it will vary depending on what each stock fund has agreed for itself.
Okay. I see Trevor.
Kida, can I ask another question?
Yes, sure, definitely.
Oh, hi, Jackie. My name's Carl Pierwell. It's a pleasure to meet you. Just one question. So you obviously get different kind of stock funds, right? Do they invest only in property, or they invest in shares, and do they diversify their portfolios basically?
They invest in different things. So I belong to a collective called Socham, and part of our strategy was, we don't even call ourselves a stock fund. We call ourselves an investment property, an investment company. And so what we decided to do was, like I said, for the first 5 years, just save. And now we're at a point where we can start deploying those funds. And, you know, the idea is not just to buy property. We can invest in other members' stuff, for example. There's other stock files that decide they collectively going to build each other houses. They're collectively going to do different kind of stuff. So it doesn't just have to be in the property space, although I think more are starting to realize that property is a good place to be, and they buying because they've got the income, which most people don't have. So on a monthly basis, they're just investing in something that's growing. And I think more people are starting to realize that is a great value add, rather than buying stuff on a monthly basis or just circulating the money through an Mgalelo kind of situation. Mm. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you, definitely. And just one more question.
But I think if you can agree as a collective what your aim is, what your objective is, then we can definitely sit and discuss how we can make the most of that for you.
Yeah, and then just the other question. So obviously there's lots of risk involved, and a lot of the time in the news and stock, like, there have been negative publicity regarding stock fault, right? What is your like pitch towards somebody that you want to get investing into the stock fault? I mean, how would you actually sell the product to somebody from a safe perspective and from a sincerity perspective, like, come, this is a stock fault, it's genuine, you will definitely get your returns, or there is risk involved. So how do you win over those kind of people? Taking in mind that, I mean, they're not really clued up with what a stock fault is.
Yeah. So you've got to work with people you trust. You can't be working with people that don't have the same objective as you. You know, within the group that I belong in, it was one person recruiting another person because they know that person's character. So by the time I get to Carl and I say, Carl, this is what we're doing, I'd like to believe Carl trusts me, at least to a certain extent, that he was willing to work with me and take the risk with me, because I'm taking that risk as well. So it's different to saying, you know, buy this product when it's not something that I'm investing in myself. So that's the one thing. And then have qualified people as part of your leadership. So within our group, you know, the treasurer is somebody who's a CA. We've got the company secretary who's a qualified lawyer. You've got somebody who's taking care of the investment space who is working for an asset management company or a venture capital company. So the people that are part of the leadership team are people with loads of credibility that are qualified in those particular industries. So that, for me, garners a lot of trust. So perhaps in your own circle, look at how you can make sure that you're linking yourself with people that are not just like-minded, but have also got the skills and the qualifications to be able to take the organization forward. Because starting out, you're not going to have the money to pay somebody to do your books and all of that sort of stuff.
Wow, thanks so much. I see Trevor's
hand is up. Is there anything that you wanted to ask, Trevor?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Jackie.
Hey, Trevor.
How are you doing? It's so good to hear from you tonight.
Thank you.
Yes. My question is, very similar along the lines that Kyle has just asked you those type of questions. I think it's an amazing opportunity, you know, to come in as a collective, you know, especially for those people that want to tap into an opportunity over the medium and the long term, you know, to have, especially if we're talking in terms of township, you know, township business, where you can start off these type of opportunities. So my question, I think, would be, Jackie, you obviously did quite a bit of research before you started this this platform. Did you have to consult with somebody that was already doing it prior to when you guys were doing it? Did you consult with people that has done it already, or was this just pioneered by yourselves? That is basically my question.
Yeah, when we started out, like I say, we weren't necessarily looking to only invest in property. So as a collective, you know, we're taking it one goal at a time. We know we want to do something. We want to do something as a collective. We want to leverage of the benefit of having access to a large resource that will help us grow. Initially, it was just saying, we don't want to perpetuate the stereotype that we can't invest in things ourselves, or that we constantly have to be going in and saying, well, we're Black, BE credentials, just give us for free or whatever. So there's a lot of negative stereotype that's happening. So part of our agreement was that we wanted to just save as much as we could in the beginning so that we can then have funds that we can deploy however we wanted to deploy. Now that we have funds, we then consulting with people. Ideally, we don't want to consult with people at a cost. That's why as a collective, when we were recruiting, we recruited people that were skilled in a profession. So we'd never necessarily just go to somebody who isn't skilled or knowledgeable about a particular industry. So we know we've got somebody who's a marketing professional and studied that, somebody who's an asset manager and studied that, somebody who's an accountant and studied that. So we leverage of the knowledge that we've got within the group. And so that's how a lot of the consulting is happening at the moment. We know that there's subcommittees, so just for control and making sure that everything runs according to plans, we've got people that don't belong to a particular industry, but then we'll have the property portfolio headed up by a Trev or a Jackie because they know what is happening, particularly in that industry. If we're going to go into mining or we're going to go into retail or whatever the case may be, we then have people within the collective that work in those spaces and have access to resources within those spaces that we don't necessarily have to pay for, particularly as we start out.
Thank you. That was quite an answer. Thank you so much. Very informative. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Trevor.
We've got one more question from Kyle. Kyle is burning up today. Kyle is asking, do you have to be registered with the FSB?
It depends on what you're going to do. So we're not registered with a financial services board because we registered as a company, a PTY LTD. And so as a PTY LTD, we technically are investors into a company and the company is doing stuff with the money that's been invested into it. So we don't consider ourselves a stock fund in the typical sense, if that makes sense. If you were to, depending on how you are operating your stock file, you might need to be, yes.
I think you can see there's a lot of hunger for knowledge around this topic. I think we should organize some kind of workshop where you actually just narrow it all down for us and show us how to do this, because I'm actually very interested. But other than that, Jackie, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your wisdom, and thank you for educating us and getting our appetite wet. I think I just need to Trevor. Yeah, had a whole conversation going on at the back there. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for the educational. I feel like you just gave us a class right now through the session and whetting our appetite. So I really appreciate it. Just remember, we are going to have this on podcast tomorrow so that you can share with everyone who wasn't able to join us today.
Absolutely. There's a lot to unpack. Thanks for having me. And there's other Stopfalls that are doing a lot of wonderful stuff and operating very optimally. So it's definitely something I think more collective than maybe taking hold of the opportunity.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave it there for today. Hopefully we're going to connect soon for this workshop. So that's my challenge to you.
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Please have a lovely evening further. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.